Welcome. This is episode 244 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be beginning a series. We're going to be giving a series on Daniel chapter 6. We're going to begin a series on Daniel chapter 6. It's my prayer that the Lord teaches us a lot of great things from His Word that we can take away and by applying, become more like Him and fulfill the plans and purposes that He has for our lives. So we're going to be reading from the King James Version, and I'm going to start from Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. So when I get to a good stopping point, I'll stop, and then the Lord will teach us. So verse 1 says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." I'm going to read verses 1 to 3 again. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." May the Lord bless the reading of His word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, these first three verses teach us a few things that I think are important to unpack and kind of dig through. So, the first thing that we need to realize is, what was the status of Daniel? Daniel was a foreigner. Daniel was not originally from Babylon. He was not. He came in captivity with many other Israelites. But if you look at the life of Daniel, his outcomes were very different from many of the other Israelites. But I think it's kind of important to just recognize that the fact that you may not have every advantage that many other people have does not mean that you cannot make a great destiny. So I'm just trying to use this as a source of encouragement, right? Like, Daniel literally came in captivity, but God used him for mighty things. He literally broke into the highest of the highest of the highest echelons of rule in the land of Babylon. Daniel was able to break through. And by the grace of God, we're going to examine some of the reasons and principles behind him being able to break through despite all these odds. It's just like, for example, a person being a complete immigrant, and that complete immigrant ultimately becomes the president of a country. A somewhat similar story in the Bible of this same kind of ideal you can find in the life of Joseph. Joseph came into the land of Egypt as a slave. His brothers literally sold him into slavery. But at some point, I think it was about 20 years after he was brought into the land of Egypt, that same Joseph, despite all that may have happened in his past, he was lifted to a very high position in the land of Egypt. In fact, the only person that had more sway in the land of Egypt than Joseph was Pharaoh the king. In fact, Joseph had so much sway that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, I'm just paraphrasing, said that I think like no one could lift a finger in the land of Egypt without Joseph's say-so. That was a person that was able to break in, right? And this was someone that came in as a slave. It's not like, wow, he was originally an Egyptian. No, he was a slave, but he broke through. So I'm just trying to use this to encourage you today. Like, don't bring yourself down because of your background. Don't bring yourself down because of your history. Don't bring yourself down because, oh, I come from a lower class family, or I'm an immigrant, or I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that. The thing is, there is nothing that is really impossible for you to achieve, especially if God is with you and you do the right thing. Especially if God is with you, God is favoring you, and you do the right thing. Because I'm not going to sit here and just say that, oh, if you do the right thing, you'll get to the top. No. Because there is a part of personal responsibility, don't get me wrong, in getting to the top. These two people that you see me describe, Daniel and Joseph, they did not just say, okay, I serve God, so God will lift me to the top. In fact, if you look at these people's lives, they went through a lot of challenges. They went through a lot of trials, but they stayed consistent in their service to God. And that consistency in godly service paid off for them in the end, right? So I'm not going to sit here and say that the pathway to the top has no challenges, has no problems, has no issues that you'll go through. No, they went through a lot of issues. I mean, Daniel, he was almost killed with all the other wise men. Daniel had gotten in quite a bit of trouble. Even his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same thing with Joseph. You know, Joseph was sold into slavery. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife to sleep with him, to sleep with her. He was unjustly thrown into prison. He interpreted the dreams for the butler and the cupbearer, but those people like forgot him in prison. They were supposed to remember him, but I think like 2 years passed, they forgot him. But you know, he still got to the top, right? Because he had his own personal responsibilities to play. He obeyed God, right? So he was tempted to sleep with Potiphar's wife. He did not. Daniel, he had opportunities to intermingle with the customs of Babylon, and he did not. If you look at Daniel chapter 1, you know, where they were told to eat from the king's table. I believe that food on the king's table was food that was sacrificed to idols. And, you know, Israelites are not supposed to eat stuff like that. And the Bible says that Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. So there's going to be challenges along the way. But again, there is the path of personal responsibility. But beyond that personal responsibility, there's also the God factor. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1, I believe verse 28, it says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, right? And the Bible says about Joseph that, you know, even while he was in the land of Egypt going through all these problems, God was with him. God was with him. So, again, I just want to encourage you that with God on your side and you taking personal responsibility and obeying his will, right? Being responsible, you can get to the top regardless of the odds that are against you. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. But it certainly does not mean that you cannot get to the top. So that's the first thing I think I want to establish here, right? I just try to paint a picture of the background of these, of Daniel, so that you can see that Daniel coming into this land and looking at his achievements, there is a big gap. That big gap is explained by some of the things he did. And some of those things, again, involved serving God faithfully. Then number two, taking responsibility. Okay, so what's the second principle I want to discuss? The second principle I want to discuss is that you could keep going higher. You could keep going higher. Because if you look at the life of Daniel, right? It was just, I mean, the king was like, wow, I'm going to set over the kingdom 120 princes. You don't set over a kingdom, 120 princes, if you were not dealing with a large kingdom. So this dynasty was pretty big. But then from those 120 princes, there were going to be three presidents. And Daniel was going to be among those three. So look at the odds. 120 princes. And then they're like, oh, we're going to select three presidents. So that's one in every 40. Again, those are some very, very tough odds. One in 40, that's pretty rough. So basically, we've whittled down from 120 to 3. So that means, wow, for every 40 people, every 40 princes, we're going to pick one. And of those three, Daniel was first. Daniel was regarded as first. And if you notice, from those three, the Bible says that in verse 3 that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. So from those three, Daniel was selected as like number one. So he was selected as one out of 120. So you may ask yourself, wow, why was Daniel in the top 1%? This is actually less than the top 1%, right? He was probably like top 0.8% or something like that. But why was Daniel so preferred? Well, thank God for the Bible. The Bible provides an answer. It says, because an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in him. So what does that tell us? It tells us that the Holy Spirit was in Daniel. The Holy Spirit was in Daniel. And it was a spirit of excellence. It was a spirit of excellence. 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 And if you look up a definition for excellence, what does excellence mean? Excellence means the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. The quality of being outstanding or extremely good. So that means Daniel was an outstanding person. He was extremely good. Because for you to have been selected as one of the 120 princes, you had to have been really good at your job. You're no slouch to start. And then to be selected as one of the three presidents over the 120 princes, you must have been like really, really, really good at your job. And then to then be selected as the head of those three presidents, oh, you must have been like extremely good at your job. And the Bible gives us a very, very clear picture. He says that he was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. So let's focus on that character trait of excellence. Excellence. When you do something excellently, it means you do an outstanding job. It means you do really quality work. It means that, wow, if you check this person, and we're going to describe some of this more in verse 4 in a later podcast. Right? But if you look at verse 4, I'm just giving you a preview of coming attractions. The Bible says that he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. So that means if you look at Daniel's life, Daniel had extremely high standards. Extremely high standards. And because he had such high standards, he was preferred above the presidents and princes. So, brethren, what are we learning today as an important principle for getting to the top? An important principle for getting to the top is pursuing excellence, is having excellence as your watchword, is having excellence as your model. The thing is, we live in a world where many people do not value excellence. They don't. They're content with doing a passable job. They are content with doing, okay, I've done the bare minimum, let me move on. They are content with minimum competency. And to be honest with you, it's very hard for you to be differentiated if you're a person that has that kind of orientation. If you're a person that says, you know what, I'm just going to do the bare minimum, I'm going to do the minimum possible. Well, you're not going to be very differentiated in any way, shape, or form. That's the truth. But if you want to be differentiated, if you want to be like literally a tier above the others, right? If you want to be preferred compared to others, then you have to be a person that works in excellence. A person that works in excellence. And the thing is, I love how the Bible says that because an excellent spirit was in him. So it's almost like, wow, spirit was producing these character traits. The thing is, the God that we serve is an excellent God. The God that we serve is an excellent God. If you read through the book of Revelation, especially Revelation chapter 1, where he goes into detail on describing God, on describing who he is, you can see this element of intense purity about God. You can see this element of intense purity about God. You can see just excellence, 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 right? If you even look at the book of Isaiah chapter 1, where the Bible talks about, you know, the restoration of the land of Israel, where he says, you know, like God cleansing you from your sin. He says he'll make you white as snow. He'll make you clean as wool, right? Those things describe, wow, making a person like spick and span, no dirt, no nothing. So again, I'm encouraging you today, what kind of job do you do? Just ask yourself, man, if I've been stuck in the same position at work, am I preferred compared to my co-workers? Am I preferred compared to my contemporaries? If you're not, check the quality of the work you do. And to be honest with you, it's kind of sad that the world is beginning to reward more and more passable work. But the thing is, the world rewards that passable work. But the thing is, there's going to be no real difference between you and other people. Excellence is a very solid differentiator. Excellence is a very solid differentiator. It shows, wow, a certain level of character that will stand out. Because the thing is, because excellence is becoming less and less of a character trait you'll find in the world we live in today, excellence has become more and more and more valuable. Right? Because again, I'm telling you this, there are few people that are excellent. There are few people that are excellent. That's the truth. So when you're a person that is excellent, because there are so few of you, you're going to stand out compared to other people. So I'm really encouraging you today, be excellent. Be excellent. Do your craft to the best of your abilities. When people see your output, let that output be very memorable for them. If you're a person that cooks, when people eat your food, let them say, wow, I have never tasted this. Like, let's say something that is basic, right? Let's say all you cook is, fried rice. Let your fried rice be better than any fried rice that is out there. Let's say you teach. Let your teaching be better of a particular subject. When people attend your lecture, let them say, wow, I have never learned this topic like this. You are an excellent teacher. If you're a physician, let people be able to say, wow, I've worked with 10, 15 physicians in my lifetime. And boy, this person is just something else. I don't want to go back to any other physician. Let me tell you this. When people see excellent work, they won't want to go anywhere else. Let me tell you this. Excellence brings pricing power. Excellence brings leverage. But many people do not see that. I'm telling you, excellence brings pricing power. Excellence brings leverage. Excellence makes you be preferred over other people. But you have to have that mindset. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. The Bible says an excellent spirit was in him, right? The thing is, do people see the spirit, the mindset behind that excellence? No. But did they see that excellence? They did. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine. So the Bible didn't say let your light shine. It said let your light so shine. That means let your light be so good. Let it be so good that when men see it, when they see that light that is so shining, they will glorify your Father in heaven. Why do you think people glorify your Father in heaven? They'll glorify your Father in heaven because of the excellence of the light that they are seeing. They will glorify your Father in heaven because of the excellence of the light that they are seeing. So again, I really want to encourage you today. Like, I want you to take this as a challenge for yourself this year. And to be honest with you, I'm taking this as a challenge for myself as well. That divine, make up your mind to be excellent in whatever you do this year. And to be honest with you, it starts with a personal decision. You need to decide that, you know what, I'm not going to be content with doing a passable job anymore. I'm going to focus. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to drill down. I'm going to do excellent work. I'm telling you, if you make up your mind to do excellent work, you're not going to be in the crowd for very long. That is just the truth. you will not be in the crowd for very long. You will be elevated. You will be elevated in due time. That's just the truth. You will be elevated in due time. It's just a matter of time. Time will show forth who has excellence. You'll be preferred over other people. Don't you know that there are certain things in life where you know that, man, this person is the most expensive for this particular thing, and there are cheaper options available, but you're like, you know what? I'm going to go for this more expensive option. Even if you don't necessarily have all the money in the world, but you're like, I'm going to go for this more expensive option. And why are you willing to do that? Because you've seen something that attracts you to that more expensive option. There's like a niche. There's something unique about that more expensive option that you're like, you know what? Even if this costs a little more money, I'm going to go with this option. Right? Because there's something unique. There's something excellent about that option. I know I've certainly had situations like that where I know that, man, this thing is more expensive, but I'm just going to go for it because it's just the best of the best in the business, right? So I'll just encourage you, have that same mindset. Have that same mindset. And for those of you that are medical students, don't have that pass-fail mindset. Have an excellent mindset. Even if you're taking a board exam, and again, this is one of the reasons I feel like it's really sad that medicine is going in this direction. But even if you're taking an exam like step one that is pass-fail, it doesn't mean you should have a pass-fail mentality. You can think in terms of excellence that, see, even if this exam is pass-fail, I want to pass and I want my pass to be a very, very excellent pass. Have that kind of mentality. And then the final thing I'm going to say here from this reading, verses 1 to 3 we focused on, is that these people were placed over the kingdom so that the king should have no damage. So that the king should have no damage. So these people were being basically placed as stewards so that the king would not suffer damage. So let me ask you this. You're a steward. You know that, right? You're a steward. God has committed something into your hands. How do you handle that something that the Lord has committed into your hands? Does God suffer damage from the things he has placed in your hands? Are you a person that, man, as a steward, that thing that's placed in your hands, you damage it? The person that placed it in your hands, do they suffer damage from that stewardship? In fact, maybe a somewhat different way to ask this question is, the things that have been committed into your hands, like your time, the things that have been committed into your hands, like your marriage, the things that have been committed into your hands, like your children, the things that have been committed into your hands, like money, the things that have been committed into your hands, like a career or a task, how are you handling those things? Are people suffering damage? Are you suffering, like, are you a good steward or are you a poor steward? Is damage being suffered from you handling those things? If damage is being suffered, I'm going to encourage you, change your ways. Change your ways. Be a good steward. Like, literally, this part of the scripture is teaching all about stewardship. Is there damage or are you doing good with those things that have been committed into your hands? Are you a good manager of those things that have been committed into your hands? The king selected these people specifically so that he will have no damage, so that the kingdom will be properly stewarded. So that kingdom that has been placed in your hands, are you properly stewarding that kingdom? Because look at the prodigal son as I wrap up. The prodigal son, he took his inheritance. And the Bible says that he was given to profligate living. He wasted it all. He messed it up. He messed it up. But what did he do? He came back to the Father. He came back to the Father. He came back to God. Right? He asked, he said, his Father, please be merciful. I screwed up. I've been prodigal. So I want to encourage you today. Have you been prodigal in any way, shape, or form? Have you been a person that the things that have been committed into your hands, you've just been damage? Well, I want to tell you that the best decision for you is to go back to God. Go right back to God. Go right back to God. He'll have mercy on you. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. And he'll help you. But make up your mind to be a person of excellent character. And to be honest with you, excellence is not just something that boils down to a personal decision. It requires the help of God. It requires the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do any of it without the help of God. So I want to encourage you today to ask God for help. Because again, you may say, oh, in my heart, I really want to do the right thing. But you end up not doing the right thing, right? So I just want us to ask God for help today. But again, if you know that you've been a person that has just been a squanderer, you've squandered many things, you've recorded many losses, there's been so much damage in your life, right? God is able to save you. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things have become new. All things are passed away. Those damages, those losses, right? They're passed away and all things have become new. In fact, I love this verse by Apostle Paul. You know, Apostle Paul, if you look at his life, Apostle Paul had made so many mistakes. He had so many missteps, right? He had persecuted so many Christians. I mean, literally, the Bible records that he was holding the clothes of the people that were stoning the deacon, Stephen. So he had participated in the persecution of Christians. Think about it. Imagine if you've basically been in league with other people that has murdered someone, that has persecuted other people. It's going to hurt, right? There are some mistakes, you know, that, man, you've made these mistakes. You have squandered these opportunities. And it hurts your heart. It hurts you deeply. But the problem there is if you keep wallowing in that issue and you don't go to God. Because honestly, wallowing in that issue is not going to bring any kind of solution. Literally, wallowing in that issue is not going to bring any kind of solution. The solution is found in coming back to God. But look at what Apostle Paul says. In fact, I want to find that verse. I want to find that verse because I think it's very instructive. It's very, very instructive. And I don't know, I just feel like there's someone that needs this encouragement today, right? There's someone that needs this encouragement today. But look at what he says, Apostle Paul. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14. Right? I'll read from the King James Version as well. It really drives the point home. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Now look at this. Verse 13 is the critical verse. I mean, still, it's also critical, but like for our point, verse 13 is pretty critical. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's a lesson that many people need to take away. And to be honest with you, sometimes I need to take that lesson away as well. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I feel like to really drive this point home, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation as well, right? I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved this. I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So he said, this one thing I do, and he parsed it into two things. It's one thing he's doing, but he parsed it into two things. Number one, he forgot the past. So I'm trying to speak to someone here today. Have you screwed up? Everyone has screwed up. The Bible even says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You've screwed up. Everyone has screwed up. I, Divine, giving this podcast, has literally screwed up. If I can tell you, I screwed up yesterday, right? But the thing is, you see some people, they make mistakes. And they keep wallowing in those mistakes. They keep remembering those mistakes. That's the thing the devil wants you to do. The devil loves to keep people in bondage. The devil loves to keep people in self-pity. The devil loves to keep people in fear. The devil loves to keep people in condemnation. That's not what Christ wants. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, literally, no condemnation. The charges against you have been completely dropped. So I want to encourage someone listening to this podcast today. What kinds of mistakes have you made? Literally, Paul participated in the murder of people in the past. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting the past. This one thing I do. And forgetting is not easy. And sometimes forgetting has to be an active process. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, right? So the thing is, you've messed up. You've screwed up in the past. That's fine. Let it go. Especially if you've come to Christ Jesus like Apostle Paul did. Let go of the past. Forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before. Your future is going to be far, far better than the past that you're leaving behind. But you need to leave that past behind. You need to leave that past behind. You need to leave that past behind. What are those mistakes you've made in the past? Oh man, I've been in bad relationships in the past. Oh man, I've wasted all these resources in the past. Oh man, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that. Okay, stop throwing a pity party and move on. Go to Christ. Like that prodigal son, he screwed up. He screwed up and he was expecting this just bashing from his father. But thank God for the mercy of God. His father brought him back and welcomed him with open arms. God wants to welcome you with open arms. If you look at the book of Isaiah chapter 1, he says, oh, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. A person will not call you to reason together if they are not trying to seek peace, if they are not trying to seek change, if they are not trying to seek transformation. Oh, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. It's almost like God is saying, come, see, let's talk about this thing. You've messed up. You've messed up. But see, come, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Stop wallowing in the past. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is rest in God. There is rest in God, right? So stop wallowing in the past. Forget those things which are behind. See, let me tell you this. It doesn't matter how huge those things are. Because I'm telling you, there are some mistakes that people have made in their lives where they're like, this thing is so big. There is absolutely no way I can ever recover from this. No, you can always recover. See, I'm telling you this. You can always recover. Even if it's something egregious, again, the first thing you need to do is you need to encounter Christ. You need to encounter Christ. When you encounter Christ and you walk with him, he will help you. Even if there's still some hurt or some pain or some repercussions from that past, God will give you the grace to walk through those things. So I want to encourage you today, if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're carrying in your heart a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, right, a lot of loss, I want you to come to the Lord today. I want you to come to the Lord today. I'm not going to open my mouth and say, oh, that once you come to the Lord, oh, it's going to be a bed of roses, blah, 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 blah. No. Serving Christ is challenging. Serving Christ requires personal sacrifice. Daniel had to make personal sacrifices, but God helped him, right? Paul had to make many personal sacrifices, and he had this really checkered past, but God saw him, took him, helped him, gave him grace. There is grace. There is grace for those challenges. There is grace to live a life that pleases Christ. There is grace to move forward. There is grace to move forward. So I want to encourage you today, if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to do so right now. I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I have sinned. I have made mistakes. I have a checkered past. I have messed up. I have screwed up. But Lord, I'm coming unto you. I'm coming unto you today. I believe you died on the cross and you shed your blood to set me free from sin. Come into my life, Lord. Let the blood that you shed on the cross cleanse me from all sin, cleanse me from all transgression, cleanse me from all iniquity. Come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. Give me a brand new beginning. Write my name in the book of life. Sanctify me with your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to forget the past. Give me the grace to lay aside the past and to look forward, to stop looking back and to start looking forward, that your name might be glorified. Thank you, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And Lord, I specifically pray for myself and everyone listening to this podcast, all those that have surrendered their lives to you. Lord, please give us the grace to forget the past and give us the grace to focus on what lies ahead. Give us the grace to stop living in damnation, because your word says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This is literally your word. All things are passed away, and behold, all things, not some things, all things have become new. Father, you have made everything new in our lives. Give us the grace to stop focusing on the old and to start focusing on the new. And Lord, may your will be done in our lives and may your name be glorified. Give us the grace not to look at our backgrounds. Give us the grace not to look at our odds, but give us the grace to know that with Christ in us, which is our hope of glory, and with taking personal responsibility, we can get to the top. Give us the grace going forward, just like you told many people in the Bible, go and sin no more. Give us the grace to go and sin no more. Give us the grace going forward to be good stewards of the things that you have committed into our hands. Help us to be good stewards of our time, to be good stewards of our resources, to be good stewards of the talents and the gifts you've given unto us, to be good stewards of the opportunities that you have given unto us. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards, that your name might be glorified. And Lord, give us the grace. Let these things you have placed in your hands, we pray that may you help us to be good stewards, that you will not suffer damage from these things you have placed in our hands. And then finally, Lord, give us the grace to be people of excellence. Give us the grace not to have that pass-fail mentality. Give us the grace to have that excellent, perfect, precise, do your best job mentality. And Lord, we cannot do any of these things. Honestly, we cannot move forward without your grace. Please, Lord, give us grace. We humble ourselves before you. Your word says, but he giveth more grace. Therefore, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Father, we are humbling ourselves before you. Please give us grace to move forward, to be good stewards, and to be excellent. And as we do so, let us be preferred above our contemporaries. And let us be lifted to the very top, that your name might be glorified. Lord, I pray that this message will transform someone's life. It will transform multiple people's lives. It will transform their destinies for the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So for those that have surrendered their lives to the Lord, congratulations, you're a child of God. Congratulations, you are a child of God. So I want to encourage you to keep certain things in mind. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website, episodes 96 to 101. It's titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It'll tell you very specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with Christ. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. The New Living Translation is phenomenal, right? Read it, think about it, right? Meditate on what you've read. Write down action steps for your life. Make this a daily habit. You'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. I did not say find a church. Find a Bible-believing church. To be honest with you, this is something that I'm really trusting God that at some point I will be able to have a series on, like false prophets, false teachers, and what does a Bible-believing church truly mean? Because there are many places that call themselves churches, and they do not preach things that are consistent with the Word of God. Or they take what is the Word of God and they completely turn it around and preach something that is not consistent. That's not a place you want to be. You want to find a place. And I'm not saying, oh, look for a mega church. No. Find a place, even if it's a small place that only has 10 members. As long as it's the true, pure, undiluted Word of God that is being preached, that's a place you want to be. So I want to encourage you, you know, spend time, attend the Bible-believing church, hear the Word of God, obey the Word of God, fellowship with other believers, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. Again, I'm not saying that there will not be challenges along the way. There will be challenges along the way. There will be. But there is grace and there is the help of Christ in countering those challenges. He is not leaving you bare. He has sent you a helper, the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm trusting God that in the future, if the Lord gives us the opportunity, we will talk about the workings of the Holy Spirit. So thank you for listening to me today. I will see you in episode 245. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Shalom.